It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication.
Welcome to the Poor News Network. Always off the plantation, never primp. Truth media from the shelters to the streets to wherever us poor folks meet. Today, I am in the studio with my fellow poverty scholars, Tiny and Tony Robles. On today's show, we will feature an interview with the African-Filipino powerhouse known as the Latin King of Soul, Joe Patan. As well, we will feature a research report, Poor People's Led Research, on the closing and gentrification of recycling centers. First, truth behind the headlines with Tiny.
It's a state of emergency. 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 It's a state of emergency.
On August 13th, the City Council of Columbia, South Carolina, voted to make it officially illegal to be houseless in the city of Columbia. As most PNN listeners know, it is already illegal to be houseless, as us poverty scholars report every day in AmeriKKK. This is just deepening, officiating the criminalization of the PO. One of our poverty scholar reporters from South Carolina, a Marcus Z, reports they now give you either a jail sentence or a bed in a jail-like shelter, where you aren't even allowed to leave without the permission of the shelter managers. To read the full story, go to www.poormagazine.org/magazine. This week, the final touches are being put on the systematic undoing of the last shreds of poor people housing in San Francisco, Berkeley, Los Angeles, Oakland, Detroit, New York, and on. With thousands of code words, outlines, PowerPoints, and well-paid politrickster speak, HUD's national gentrification plan is being rolled out, which results in handing our public housing over to the private developers. Stay tuned for Poor News Network's ongoing report resistance on our next segment. This May, the City Council in Albany, California, voted to evict over 70 longtime residents of the houseless community who reside in what is known as the Albany Bulb. On Tuesday, hundreds of housed residents of Albany marched to the City Council to protest this mass displacement, and the City Council refused to listen, and is going forward anyway, while also using a lot of doublespeak about mythical affordable housing referrals that have never existed. For more information, go online to www.sharethebulb and tune in next segment. And finally, the tiny enclave of wealthy tech colonizers and billionaires known as San Francisco is closing its recycling centers, beginning with the Haight-Ashbury Neighborhood Center, which several of the houseless residents of Golden Gate Park and the Haight District used to actually make fair and just bloodstained American dollars, and now proceeding on to the centers in the parking lots of Safeway. All of the centers are being gentrified, i.e. closed. This is extremely serious because it's one of the few ways us Po mamas and daddies, migrante and indígena elder scholars support ourselves while actually cleaning and stewarding Mama Earth. And this is what we at Poor Magazine call underground economic strategies. It's independent, non-corporate recycling. The following voices are from our WeSearch investigation. That's poor people-led, not academic-pimped research from a sampling of the thousands of folks who are already being impacted by this racist, classist act.
We're here with Gloria Esteva, revolucionaria, reportera y organizer in San Francisco y Oakland. We just want to get her opinion. As a recycler and as a poverty scholar and a migrante scholar, how she would be impacted by the recycling centers closing in San Francisco.
Impactada por, o sea, ¿va a ser impactada usted o la gente de su comunidad?
Creo que como recicladores estamos apoyando a la economía, independientemente que eso es lo que nos ayuda a sobrevivir, no a vivir. Pero creo que es una crueldad que nos cierren los centros de compra.
Gloria is saying that it's a cruelty to be closing these types of centers because we are supporting the economy and some of us also survive on just recycling that adds to our own income.
As a poverty and migrante scholar, Ingrid De León.
Mi nombre es Ingrid De León, soy guatemalteca.
My name is Ingrid De León and I am guatemalteca.
Yo pienso que está mal eso que quieren cerrar los centros de reciclaje. Porque conozco gente como de 60, 65 años o gente joven que no tiene trabajo. Y conozco mucha gente de edad ya avanzada que de eso vive. No dependen de nadie y sería muy doloroso que estas personas no tengan ni siquiera de dónde sacar un centavo.
I believe it's a very cruel thing to be closing these recycling centers because there's a lot of people that are in their middle age, but just in their senior years, that just base their whole income is basically based off just collecting and going over to these recycling centers. And there's a few people that I know that can't get these jobs, and so this is how they maintain their families or how they basically put food on the table.
Have you survived as a recycler yourself?
¿Ha usted sobrevivido sobre las basado en reciclar?
Ay, tiempo pasado sí, pero ahorita no, por lo mismo que tanto problema.
In previous times I used to.
So this is Philip Standing Bear, single father, super baby daddy at Poor Magazine. I found it very difficult doing recycling, and to have a lot of people look down on me to see if that was a dirty job, as some would call it. I find it to be very stimulating, not just towards oneself to get out there and survive on the simple junk that some people call it, but also to put it into the economy. If that's what we're all looking for, we're not just trash diggers, we're recyclers.
How do you feel about them closing recycling centers?
It's absurd. It shouldn't be done. This is San Francisco, for crying out loud. Aren't we one of the greenest cities in the country?
It's a state of emergency. Our comrades at the Coalition on Homelessness have created an online petition to demand that Safeway stop closing the recycling centers. You can go online to www.cohsf.org. As well, stay tuned for more Poor People-led resistance on this issue, as we will not give up. And next time you walk into Safeway, ask the manager to keep that recycling center open, because we all need it.
Next up, PNN revolutionary worker scholar, co-editor of Poor Magazine and son of Manila Town, Tony Robles, speaks with the king of Latin soul, Joe Bataan.
This is Tony Robles with PNN Radio. It is a privilege and an honor to welcome to our PNN Radio show in the morning mix Mr. Joe Bataan, who is really a legend in music, who is doing a show in the Bay Area at Yoshi's. Joe, welcome once again to the Bay Area.
Thank you, Tony. It's been a long while.
For those who don't know about you, Joe, you were one of the first, if not the first, to really blend or fuse rhythm and blues with Latin rhythm, Latin music. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how that came to be?
I grew up in Spanish Harlem, and the trend back in the day was really R&B music, rock and roll. When I got home after having served a little time in the reformatory, I noticed the fad had changed, and most of the kids were involved with this new form of salsa dancing, which wasn't called salsa at that time. And I embraced that culture, and I decided to start a band, which I did. I had the youngest band in Latin music at the time. I formed that band, and the Boogaloo came along. Of course, now we call it Latin Soul, but it was a perfect vehicle for me to sing tunes in English with a Latin beat. And the rest is history. The music has spread now all over the world.
You had a lot of songs, but Afro-Filipino Ordinary Guy seems to be one of your signature songs.
Not just that.
Well, you know, after having achieved somewhat of a recognition in the Latin community, I decided in about 1973 that I was going to find out my identity and speak about it, because for a long time people thought of me as Latino, others thought of me as African-American, which was all together somewhat true. But the fact was, the Filipino part of me was never mentioned. This is something that I said, well, gee, probably nobody will understand what I'm doing. So I coined this word, Afro-Filipino. The record companies were looking at me kind of weird, saying, well, what are you trying to do? I said, well, this is my identity. This is what I want to do. So then I named the album Afro-Filipino. And, of course, the song was Ordinary Guy, which I recorded maybe 6 or 7 other different versions. And I did this song hoping that the Filipino community would recognize that I was part Filipino, you know. It took a long time. It was the younger generation that came in support, and then everybody decided it was one of our brothers. Let's bring him home.
We're going to have to wrap up, but I wanted to just get more information for our listeners of the Morning Mix about your show at Yoshi's.
Okay, I'll be at Yoshi's September 7th. There's 2 shows, a worldwide invitation to everybody in the Bay Area to come out. We're going to try to have an East Coast, West Coast jam, and I will definitely be wearing something in red.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much for being on the Poor Magazine radio show this morning on the Morning Mix. Can't wait to see it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
Ashe Onamama D, also a big fan of Joe Bataan from North Philly, Boricua African, represents. As well, the Po Poets Project will also be spitting some scholarship at a meet and greet with Joe at the I Hotel tomorrow, Friday, September 6th, at Kearney and Jackson in San Francisco. To read more of Tony Robles' revolutionary scholar work, go to www.poormagazine.org. Also, Friday, September 6th, tomorrow, All Out for Art at the Oscar Grant Plaza will go down with music by Kev Choice, medicine from the People's Community Medics, and so much more. And on September 12th, support the really real liberation and revolution of the Coalition on Homelessness and have some fun. Thursday, September 12th at 6:30 p.m. at SOMART Center, 934 Brannan, the annual Coalition on Homelessness art auction and party, which will feature deep soul singer Lave Smith, over 200 artists' work, food, and liberation in action.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication.
So that's all for this segment of Poor News Network on KPFA's Morning Mix. And appreciation to Andre Soto and to Anthony Fess for the media access and all of the work that they do. And all power to the people always. Peace.